Since I washed away, I am redeemed.
Stop it. Repeat it after me.
If you don't say anything, but I've been redeemed, why don't you just stand up and say, I've been redeemed?
I've been redeemed!
Come on, come on, come on. Praise the Lord!
Without my experience and something good, without my experience and something good, I gave my life to him because I couldn't believe. But that there is nothing to see over there. It's just like being here and have everything over here. And says, my father's house has light, my glory circle throne. I left all for now, so I wanted to stand alone. I left it all for you, the house I left for you. Now, but I haven't left anything for the Lord, nothing at all. But that's what it's meant to be. More than I can tell.
Amen. Thank you.
So Peter said he needed to let you do some more. And I thought, this is kind of hoping he said. Everything that the Lord is thinking is blessing so much.
Praise the Lord.
And he doesn't stop. He just stops looking at all this.
Amen.
And I can't even praise the Lord.
Scriptures, but we know it from what we see. You know, you believe the scriptures, you know, for a time. It's not hard to look around in the universe and see what all these creative things are standing out. You know, how God is very powerful, you know. And there's a lot of attributes that are things that we can attach to God that really exalt him and lift him up. But you know, there's something that happens that there's an attribute that we couldn't attach to God without him giving his life for us. You know? We could stand at the end and we could point to God and we could give him all kinds of glory and stuff. There's one thing that we couldn't say, or we couldn't attribute really an enter into the experience of it, and that's love. That's love. If you go to, well, first of all, let me ask you this. How do you know John 3:16? A lot of people know John 3:16. You know, I was reading a book on prayer, praying with authority today. The guy says, does that let you know John 3:16? And he goes, do you know 1 John? And you know, we can stand and we can attach an attribute to God now because he gained his life, because he gained his son. And it says, and hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. You know, I know God's love. I know that. And how can I know that? Because he laid down his life for us. But you know, there's another part to that verse. And it says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I remember the first part of that verse when somebody said, oh yeah, I know that verse. But I didn't remember last time. I said, how come I didn't remember last time? I know I didn't remember that. I didn't want to. You know? I laid my life down for the brethren.
Yeah.
That's funny. And at first I said, oh, what a rebuke. What a rebuke. And I said, you know, see, you take it as a rebuke and you leave it there. Not why. Not why. You take that rebuke and you change it into an admonition.
Amen.
And you change it into a purpose. And you change it into something that you will and that you desire with your heart. Lay down your life. Amen.
Amen.
And goodbye. Let's lay down our lives for the breath.
You know, the Old Testament, they had sacrifices. And those sacrifices, most of them went with the wrong attitude in their heart. They put the sacrifice there. And they might have had the attitude that, you know, this is just something like in my tradition or whatever, but they would take the sacrifice and the lamb or whatever it was and kill it. And most of them would probably think, you know, this is a person, you have to give up this lamb or have to buy it, however they got it. But to have to actually lose this lamb or this bullock or whatever they were offering, it probably hurt them. And they thought, you know, this is really a sacrifice. I mean, this is something that I have been sacrificing.
That's right.
And yet if they had really fought and had the right attitude for that sacrifice, they'd have thought, boy, this lamb is worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's worth to get rid of this lamb.
Yeah, baby.
You know, if I want to buy something, I go and I hand them money to receive something. Well, I wouldn't say, you know, I wouldn't sacrifice my money to get that. No, you say, no, the reason why I'm giving my money is because it's worth it. And the reason why they were given the sacrifice was for forgiveness of sin.
Mm-hmm.
It was for putting that sin off. And Christ has already now accomplished that. What I think about, though, is now we are the Bible talks about our sacrifice. And yet we have, for many times, the same attitude, you know. This is really hurting me, you know. But if we had the right attitude about a sacrifice, then it would be something spontaneous. I mean, it wouldn't be like, if it's a sacrifice, it wouldn't be like something you're hurting to give. It's something that you just can't help but give. It's something that just, that wants to, that you just want to give. It's not a forced thing. And I look at some verses that really bless me. It's Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus didn't say, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you a yoke just as hard. He didn't say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll chastise you with many stripes if you don't work twice as hard for me. Now, don't we owe that to God? Don't we owe the work? I mean, couldn't we actually say, God, I owe you. I mean, I owe you everything I've got, all my labor, all my time.
Amen.
I owe you.
Amen.
I owe him that sacrifice.
Amen.
But Jesus is not looking for what we can offer him. All he wants is our joy and our faith. That's all he desires, is joy in us. So we lift him up. He says, I will give you rest. I like that word. I like rest.
Amen.
You know, it's so hard for the Catholics, the people I deal with, lived every day. It's so hard for them to understand that God has given them rest. God has given them rest. They say that I believe in promiscuity and I believe in all kinds of things, but I say, no, not your works. You need to repent of your works. Your works, your religious works, your good works are sending you right to hell because you are trusting in them. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in your heart, and you shall find rest on your souls. His yoke is not the kind of yoke that you are forced or that you will. You're pushed until you finally just feel like you're just going to despair. If we can just realize God is not expecting more out of you. He's not expecting more out of you than you can handle, than you can do. He doesn't expect anything. He's not expecting anything from you as far as what he wants from you. I mean, I'm sure he wants you to live a holy life, and the Bible speaks all the way through that. You ought to have works. You ought to do good works as a good testimony and as a witness. But he's not expecting that for any fellowship with him. He's not expecting you to really work hard, to really sacrifice a lot and give up so much. Brethren, he wants us to rejoice in the rest that he's provided for us. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Chapter 4. Verse 3. This is a beautiful statement. He goes on after, you know, the second part of the verse to say other things. But look what he says. This is the first little phrase. He says, so we which have believed to enter into rest. Then later he says, therefore there remaineth the rest of the people of God. Amen. And he says, he that hath... I've been quoting this thing. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own work.
Amen.
But God did from him. Brethren, I know that that doesn't mean that I can just live any way I want. I mean, I know that that's not what it means. But I also know that the righteousness that I am to show, the sacrifice, the life that I give, should not be the life that I can manufacture. Something that I can do, something that I can force myself into. I know it says, present your body as a living sacrifice. I know it's like a paradox, but what he's saying is, I'm giving you rest. Just rest. Take my yoke upon you, that's right. But I'll do the pulling. Just let me pull. I want to give you rest. You know, he gave his life for us. He didn't give his life for us so that we could, for the reason, that doesn't mean you won't be doing it, but for the reason of getting all your labor from now on in. That wasn't the reason why. He doesn't need your labor. It's not really his expectancy to try to get all that you can do. He wants to use you. But that's just a privilege in itself. Mm-hmm. I praise the Lord for rest. I can rejoice in the rest. I can rejoice in knowing that when I go to God, I don't have to prove to him that I'm sacrificing more in order for him to give me enough to eat that day. And if I ask for him for a certain thing, the devil lies to me and says, you don't deserve it. You're not good enough. I know I'm not good enough. I've decided that. Brendan and I have decided. Right now, I decide I'm not good enough. I don't deserve anything he gives me. I'm resting in him. And I love that rest. And I want to rejoice in his rest today. I'm glad he's not a harsh Lord that's expecting very difficult things from me. He says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light, and ye shall find rest under your soul.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I think so now I'm redeemed. We have victory.
Yeah.
And not only that, but we got that victory in Jesus.
Amen.
But if it wasn't ourselves who saved us, it's not ourselves.
Jesus'
blood of the cross that redeemed us, and the Jesus' blood that redeemed us, and Jesus' death on the cross that gives us the victory.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. I've got the victory. The victory is Jesus.
Amen.
I have a rest. Man, rest is Jesus. I have his salvation, and his salvation is Jesus. Amen? He's our all in all. He's everything we need. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Some people get all upset. They just can't stand a happy religion.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be a good religion if you're happy at it.
That's right.
You can't really be getting close to God if you're laughing and praising and shouting and jumping up and down saying, I believe!
Amen.
I believe! If I can shout when Dallas gets a touchdown, or when my little girl makes a basket full, and praise the Lord, I can shout, I believe! Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. I think every time we walk into the presence of the Lord, don't be a thanksgiving.
Amen.
I think we ought to be a thanksgiving people.
Amen.
I think sometimes we're so hung up on doctrine, or we're so hung up on righteous life, or we're so hung up on our sins or our failures, that we don't come into His presence with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Tell you what. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise unto Him with songs.
Amen.
I understand that Brent and Dale and Brother Al and Berlin all will sing for us. And that means it's got to be a joyful noise.
Right.
And we have to rejoice in the joyful noise. Because we won't get any tune out of it. But we can rejoice in somebody making a joyful noise.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For the Lord is a great God.
Amen.
How great is your God?
Amen.
He's a great God.
Amen.
And a great King above all gods.
Amen.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Get His hand on the deep places of the earth.
Amen.
The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His. And He made it.
Amen.
And His hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Now, I didn't really preach that. I didn't interpret it, but I hate it.
Amen. Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
I
don't know if
my God is.
There's
Psalm 115.
Amen.
My God is a great God.
Amen.
Psalm 115. Now unto us, O Lord, now unto us, and to thy name give glory.
Amen.
For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake.
Amen.
Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heaven.
Amen.
He hath done whatsoever he hath
done.
Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. You know, it says that their idols are silver and gold. But my God is better than gold.
Amen.
And, just He's done whatever He pleased. He does whatever He wants.
Amen.
He doesn't have to listen to what we say or anybody else say. But He's done whatever He's pleased. Look at John 6:35. 37. Because they have mouths, but they speak not. My God speaks.
Amen.
Amen.
One time, when he was here on earth, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger.
Amen.
And he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Amen.
But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth to me, giveth me, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I never heard Buddha say anything like that.
Amen.
I never heard the Virgin Mary say anything like that, because they can't speak. But my God speaks. And that's one thing He said.
Amen.
And He said to me. And He said to many others.
Amen.
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 Look at Matthew 11:28. Bill just read that verse.
Amen.
And one thing that Virgin Mary sure doesn't say is, I'll give you rest.
That's right.
She won't give you rest.
Amen.
Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
She doesn't give you rest. You can go to all the hours you want, and you won't find rest. You'll find more work.
That's right.
You never rest.
Mm-hmm.
My God speaks. He says they have ears, but they hear not. I'm sorry, eyes. They have eyes. But they see not. My God sees. Look at Exodus 12. Virgin Mary, she can't see. And all the other eyes, they can't see, but my God can see.
Amen.
Exodus 12, verse 13. 12, verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes in your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood,
amen,
I will pass over you.
Amen. Amen.
The blood shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
He can see the blood.
He can see the blood. My God sees, and he sees the blood.
Amen.
Yes. Well, they can't see. And they can't hear. It says they have ears, but they hear not. My God hears. In Psalms 34:6. He heard me one time.
Amen.
When I was about 8 years old.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. This poor man cried.
Amen.
This poor kid cried. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. The Lord heard me and saved him out of all his trouble. You know, people think that the Virgin Mary really hears them, and they really believe that the Virgin hears them in all their lives. They pray to him, that they hear him, and they light their candles, you know, have this prayer going off and forever and ever, as long as the candle is lit, you know, it's supposed to be a prayer, but they can't hear that prayer. There's no way, but my God, he hears. He hears my prayers, and he hears me when I cry, and he saved me.
Amen.
Well, it says, here's a funny one, it says they have no nose. It says they can't smell. And my God even smells. My God can smell. In Ephesians 5.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor.
Amen.
God smelled that and he said, that's so sweet.
Amen.
And he said, so terrible. When he smelled the blood, he says, that's sweet enough.
Amen.
That was a sweet smelling savor to God. All I had was rottenness.
Right.
Mold and mildew is no good. He didn't smell terrible. Well, they have hands, but they handle not. Let's do it just with hands. John 10:27.
Amen.
I got a great God.
Amen.
I'm thanking him for his greatness.
Good hands, the Lord. Amen.
John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
That's
double security there, boy.
Eternal security.
That's right. He handles me, and he's got me in his hand forever. They can't handle. Virgin Mary can't handle him. Buddha can't handle him. Can't handle him. They can't handle it. John 19:16. They have no feet.
Amen.
I mean, they have feet, but they can't walk.
Amen.
They have feet. Physical feet. On the island, they have feet, but they can't walk. But Lord Jesus, he has feet, and he could walk too. Let me find it here. Verse 16. Then delivered ye him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on the either side one and Jesus in the midst. You know, Jesus, he had feet and he could walk.
Amen.
He walked that Calvary Road. He walked all the way up there with my sins on his back. And even with my sins and the sins of everybody else on his back, he still made it. He still walked up that county road. He ran on the cross.
Praise
he can
Lord.
Walk. He's not a dead God. He's a great God.
Amen.
And we can look at all these islands in the world and look at all they've got, and they don't give you rest. They don't give you answers to prayer.
Amen.
They can't smell the blood of the Lord Jesus. They can't smell anything. And they can't smell your praises. You can't. You say, "Oh, praise the Virgin Mary." She can't smell that. But we praise the Lord, and He smells that. The sweet smelling sacrifice
Amen.
To Him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Praise
the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 Amen.
You know, tonight we've been talking about idols and about the two and giving God.
Amen.
About glorifying Buddha and about loving the Lord, praising the Lord, and doing for Him. And you know, I wonder how many of us are in here praising the Lord and doing it and actually have so much faith it outweighs, you know. Right now, for example, I want to read John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I start reading at verse 17. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified to the truth. Mm. You know, we really have a great opportunity in this age to be a treasure people, to be a peculiar people, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. And that would be just sanctifying ourselves from one big thing that's going on nowadays, is idolatry and worshiping of Buddha in so many ways, you know. And from there I want to go to the 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. You know, the Lord sanctified himself for our sake. And as the brother here was reading earlier, 1 John 3:15, he was saying that the brethren are to lay down their lives for the brethren. You know, every time that we have to do with the things of the world, I mean, we got enough to do with the things of the world right now as it is, you know. There's a lot of temptation out there, I think. But the more we have to do with the world, the less joy we have in the Lord. You know, I take away the joy from it. And if we would sanctify ourselves for the sake of the brethren, then there'd be a whole lot more joy in the church, you know, because we'd all be more in the Word of God. And chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, kind of verse 1, it says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and be bear with me. For I am jealous over you as God is jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear that by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For as he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or as you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with it. You know, John Paul is telling us about the simplicity of Christ. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is salvation. And we give glory and praise to the Lord for what he did for us at Calvary, you know. And after that, we can glorify him. And Acts 17:11, the Bible says, for these were more noble in that they heard the word and searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. You know, we should search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Because, you know, I remember when I was lost, it was really hard to notice Christians or some religious people. You know, nowadays in the world, it's hard to tell the difference between religious people and real Christians. Because there's no sanctification, you know. And any time somebody stands up and talks about sanctification with some things that the heart life, then people get offended a little bit, and they go, don't get too serious about it. Don't get too critical about it. But, you know, our testimony means a lot. We're going to have to answer the judgment of Christ. And that's what we did. So we have the Word of God in order that we could be a peculiar. So let's go to Titus 2:14.
Amen.
Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous with good works. You know, we should be zealous with good works. And we should be a peculiar people. John 6:29 says, and what are the works of God that we have done? And he says, this is the work of God, the Lord says, that you believe in him that he has sent. You know, we should believe the Lord and trust in his word. Lean not unto our own understanding, and trust in the Lord. And you know, all these things the Lord shows us for our own good. You know, he's looking to bless us. And the more we trust him, and the less we lean unto our own understanding, the more blessed we're going to be. You know, the Lord will pour his spirit onto you, and you'll be blessed. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. I'll go ahead and start at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How do you do that? Then it goes on, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Why reprove them? For their own good.
That's right.
Saying, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Amen.
You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded those that believe not the gospel of Christ. You know, the God of this world, well, this is his kingdom. And he's got a lot of things to blind people. And, you know, I remember when I was religious. We're in a great spiritual warfare, you know, and we need to pray without ceasing and draw near to the Lord so that we can be better off in this world as we're going through this world, and we can glorify the Lord, and at the same time we can rejoice, you know. We can have that real joy that Brother Billy was talking about the other day, that real joy, not that artificial joy that we want to work up, but that real joy that we're here in the meeting, and we can just praise the Lord and rejoice in the Lord, because when you live in the Word of God, the Spirit of God gives you that joy. You know, it's a blessing from the Lord. And I was just thinking, when I was lost, I used to use a bumper sticker that said rapture. You know, for years, I meant to find out what it was. Really, for years, I meant to find out what it was, but the God of this world just kept me busy doing other things. You know, and if we Christians were more busy going about sanctification and being a peculiar people, and, I mean, I can imagine that there's a lot of people in the world speaking the truth, but they can't find any Christians, you know. And this part of the year, for example, and it doesn't touch too well with anybody, but in Proverbs 8:13, the Lord says, he says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And I hate evil. You know, I know what evil can do, but the thing is, like Brother Steve has been preaching before, is that we just don't know how to recognize evil. We just don't know how to recognize sin. Our hearts deceive us. We lean unto our own understanding instead of to the Bible. The Bible explains what iniquity is.
Mm-hmm.
Iniquity may look beautiful and pretty and sound good, but it's an abomination to the Lord. It's going to hurt us, and it's going to send somebody else to hell. You know, and I was just thinking that this time of the year, we're in the time of Christmas. And you know, Christmas, they're saying that the 25th of December is the birthday of Christ, and that's not true according to the scriptures. If the Lord wanted us to celebrate his birthday, he would have told us to do it as he told us to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But he doesn't tell us so. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us to remember those things which they preached unto us. And that is the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I don't want to make such a big deal out of Christmas, but I just think there should be some sanctification, and we should glorify the Lord and be a peculiar people and stand apart from it, and not top out and say, well, it's a good opportunity to witness. Well, we got a good opportunity to be a separate people with the Word of God all year round, you know, and we should use that time of the year to stand separate, and that would be a testimony. That would be a testimony that won't allow them to have a good time, because it bothers people
when there's one that can send the punch, it bothers people. You know, they say, well, if one can do it, I'm guilty. Because if one can do it, well, what's going on? What's behind it? What's important about crippling? You know, it creates a question mark. You know, so that we have a chance to be a testimony for the Lord, and so can come to be saved. They can come to hear the gospel. They can come to hear the true meaning of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I celebrated Christmas before I got saved, it was just a season to me of love and of giving. But I just somehow couldn't relate Jesus Christ into all this. It was just something about God. It's not the God of this world. Christmas is not celebrating the birthday of the Jesus of the Bible. Christmas is celebrating the birthday of the other Jesus, the Jesus that was not preached by the apostles. And you know, I thank the Lord that He blessed me. I'm so blessed. Amen. Just to be a part of this body of Jesus. You know, and in Ephesians chapter 4, the Lord tells us that He gave some pastors and some teachers and so forth. I thank the Lord that He gave us a pastor here that believes in preaching the Word of God. You know, and I want to read out of Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1, it says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastors, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. We'll just go over to verse 16. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto you them that despise me. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. What's behind Christmas? It isn't all about that. What are these pastors that were not sent by the Lord telling people, telling the world about Christmas? Hey, you know, I mean, people are getting drunk, getting divorced. Man, on Christmas, there's a lot of ugly things that happen. You know, if it was really Christ's birthday, the gospel would be preached. The Holy Spirit would empower us so that it would be a thing of the Lord. Christians take opportunity to have their drink on that day of the whole year, of all days. You know, and it shouldn't be something that the church, bought by the blood of the Lord, should partake in. It's not of the true and living God. It's not of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's of the other Jesus. And you know, these pastors, they go around spreading peace and love behind Christmas. People are going to hell over those doctrines. They also preach the doctrine of works in just the songs they sing during Christmas. You better be good, you know, all these kind of things. You know, thank the Lord, because they're doing the work. That's the foundation that Satan is setting in the world. And we ought to do what I want to get to in a little bit here. It says, in verse 18, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath received and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly.
Amen.
I have not sent the prophet, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. Am I a God in hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophet that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. For Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully.
Amen.
What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, and steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he said. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, and saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit these people at all, saith the Lord. You know, I want to go back to verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? The word of God can do a lot of breaking this evening in this great foundation of Christmas that the devil has built throughout the years. You know, it's definitely not of the Lord. The Bible tells us that we can see what is of the Lord, and we can know the Lord's will by knowing His will, reading His word, and knowing His word. Well, that ain't in His word. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 10, we read, I'll start verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the custom of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as a... Well, what's the Old Testament about? It's the example. It's the mind of God, what He made. And you know, we see these things happening, and you know what we do? Well, you don't want to be that critical. You don't want to be that critical. I mean, join along and, you know, don't be a bummer in the whole thing. And then we come here to this place, and we pray for the power of God. Oh, my God. That's how much we trust Him, you know. We can't throw out of our home an idol and a Christmas tree and just say no to all the Christmas carols that are being sung in all the bars and all the poor places and all these places. If it was really of the Lord, these people wouldn't want nothing to do with it. And all these songs would be singing the gospel. They'd be singing about salvation. But it ain't so. You know, in 1 Peter... First Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. This is talking about us. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You know, I thank the Lord that He pulled me out of darkness.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of things, and I can understand that you don't see a prayerfulness in something like Christmas and stuff like that. But I used to be religious, and I used to partake in it, and I used to put my heart into it the way they teach it. And you know, it is a great stumbling block. It's the work of the devil. It's darkness. And you know, I get excited about light. The more light that we can shed, the more light that we can shed, the more that the light can make manifest the work of darkness, and the better chance people have of waking up from the dead. You know, we talk about love, right? We say, oh yeah, but Christmas, I mean, oh, really love, you know? I mean, we couldn't go that far. Well, you're actually doing worse by partaking with them than what you are doing any good. Because if you really love those lost souls, You want to sanctify your life so that the light would manifest in darkness in their lives, so that they would wake up from the dead. You know? So,
at least you don't see.
I've gotten about 50 books here. they're backed up strictly by L.R. Shelton, a brother that passed away already. And the title of it is called Christmas, a Demon Holiday. I want you to hear it. Christmas, a Demon Holiday. Because that's what it is. And I'll declare it plainly. It should be called worse than that. But that's what he named it. I pray that y'all would take one home. One for family and read it. It'll back it up strictly. I'll tell you, so they'll be here after the meeting if you have to take them. You can be a peculiar people, people that can glorify the Lord, people that can say, I don't partake in that. I am a child of the true and living God. Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.
Amen.
Boy, that sounds good, don't it?
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I hope no one minds my saying, but the reason the last two meetings, this morning and also this evening meeting, we had a lot of doctrinal preaching. And a lot of preaching on some very important doctrines that I believe are some important things in the Christian life. But you know, that's really not what we're here for, man. These four things.
That's right.
What we're here for is to thank the Lord.
Amen.
And I think that we can kind of take the doctrinal teachings, and for a while I think we can set them aside. I mean, we know them and we preach about them all year. Like I said, we preach hard on them all year long. We preach hard on sin all year long. But I'd like to see for the rest of the meetings that we Amen. Have here a thanksgiving Amen. To the Lord.
Amen.
The last Amen. Two meetings have been kind of dry. This morning was kind of dry. I really wasn't blessed by that meeting all that much. I hope for sure that some people were, but I didn't come away as blessed as I did yesterday from yesterday morning's meeting and last night from last night's meeting, because my heart is set for thanksgiving.
Amen.
My heart is set for giving thanks to the Lord. And not for preaching the whole lot of hard doctrine right mm-hmm. now.
Amen.
And I love the doctrine, and I love to preach the hard doctrine. But I tell you what, I love to give thanks to the Lord
Amen.
And stress the importance of the wonderful works that the Lord has done.
Amen.
I'd like to share with you a blessing and kind of change the whole subject of the meeting right now. And I want to put the emphasis back on thanking the Lord
Amen.
For the wonderful promises that He gives us in this word right here. And I'd like to look first at Matthew chapter 27. I'd like to compare just a couple passages of Scripture that have been a great blessing to me for many, many years. And Matthew chapter 27, and let us look at verse 44. It says, "The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth."
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the same thing that they cast in his teeth? When you look at verse 12, it says, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. If he be the King of Israel, let him come now down from the cross, and we will believe him." And it says, "He trusts in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." And this is the railing and the accusation that all the people around the cross were giving to the Lord. And this was the accusing that they were giving him. And this is what the Bible says both of those things did.
Amen.
Amen. But you know, there's some important statements made right there. When Satan comes before Eve in Genesis chapter 3, he doesn't come out with an all-out lie.
That's right.
When he comes out and talks to her, the majority of what he says is true. He just makes a few vital mistakes. He adds to it, and he takes away from it just a little bit. You know, Sarah said, "He saved others, but he can't save himself." You know, that was an important thing.
Right.
If he could have saved himself, he couldn't have saved us.
That's right.
If he had saved himself, our salvation would be useless.
Amen.
Right. You know, it says, if God can save him, let him come down from the cross rather. But that wasn't his purpose.
Amen.
You know, he couldn't come down off that cross and still save us.
Amen.
And I want you to know something, that Jesus was the one who told those people that. He said, I need to go to Jerusalem. Yeah. I need to be crucified on the cross. Yeah. His disciples said, Lord, we'll save him. He said, no. He said, you don't think I could save myself right now? He said, you don't think I could pray to the Father and he'd give me more than 12 legions of angels? They come down here, they rub this earth to pieces. They just wham on. You see one in the book of Revelation, he's standing there. He's got one foot out in the middle of the ocean and he's got the other foot in the middle of the land and he's staying there proclaiming the word of God. Now, can you imagine 12 legions of beings that man coming down this earth for one man? I believe they'd get their man, huh? Well, I want to tell you something. You know what those people were doing? They were echoing Jesus. They were mocking what he said. They were throwing it back in his face. So I want you to look at a comparable passage in Luke for me. You know, they hung a superscription over him that said, this is the King of the Jews. Now, these two malefactors that were hanged with him, I suppose they were probably Jewish. They were hung in the same place and at the same time, the same manner that the Romans used to kill the Jews with. It says this in verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering him rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, I suppose there was just enough of the gospel echoed back from the people at the foot of the cross to lead that man to the Lord. Because over there in Matthew it said both of them railed the same thing. Both of them condemned him. Both of them accused him of being something he wasn't. But you know, by the time you get back up here to Luke and you look in at the heart of this one man had listened just a little too long to what was said. They were sitting around joking about it. That's exactly what they were doing. But one man listened just a little too closely and thought, you know, didn't it say somewhere back there that he was going to be crucified for us? Didn't it say somewhere that the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all? That he was led dumb like a sheep before us? And he didn't say a word. You know, and all this came back in the mind of that man, and as these people threw back up at Christ the words that he had preached to them, this one man was brought under conviction, and his soul that day was saved.
Right.
And, you know, we set out on a great deed to be missionaries through Mexico, to publish the word through Mexico, to publish the word all around the world. You know that in many, many places and at many, many times, we don't see the return that the Word of God has. But this thing says that His Word will never return void.
Amen.
And I'm happy that there are some people out there who preach that Word through contention.
Amen.
You know, it took me a while, a long time to come to a point where if they preach Jesus, then I praise the Lord for them.
Amen.
Then I'm thankful for them. You know, there's a lot of people that are just plain bad doctrine and a lot of things I don't agree with, but they're preaching Jesus.
Amen.
And Paul says some of them preach it out of contention. And some preach it just because they wanted to hurt Paul. And they said, I'm going to be better than him. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in there before Paul gets there. And I'm just going to knock the work away from Paul. I'll tell you what. Paul said, I thank God for it because the gospel's been
preached. Amen.
And I thank God for every person who gets out there, and you may look like a failure. And at that point, it looked like Jesus was a failure.
Right.
If you didn't know what was going on. And it took that man a long time on that cross to figure out exactly what was going on. He said, hey, wait a minute. He looked over at the other guy and said, you know, we deserve what we're getting.
Right.
But he doesn't.
Amen.
He deserves absolutely nothing. I tell you what, I praise the Lord that I don't always see the fruit of our labor.
Mm-hmm.
But I praise the Lord that in His Word He said that there will be that.
Amen.
And that fruit will come back.
Thank you, Lord.
And Brother David, you were talking about that tract that you guys passed out the other day. And you saw so many tracts go out. And you saw it printed in the paper telling them all this that it supposedly said. You know, I believe I'm just far out enough to believe that there are some people who can get led to the Lord by a newspaper article like that.
That's right.
By somebody who says some foolish things like that. I'm just far out enough to believe that no matter what you do, if you print the Lord's word and if you print the truth, somebody's going to be saved. Then the Lord will use it to draw somebody to Himself.
Amen.
So I praise the Lord that you put that promise in there, and I just want to give a word of encouragement.
Amen.
Because you never know. Just when people are mocking you the most, they may just be preaching the gospel for you.
Amen.
Maybe you're trying to step out of the way and be quiet for a while. Let somebody get saved.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
What do you want in that moment? What is your desire? What do you want? And I'll think of this fall back. What about the word that I was talking about, the philosophy? They told me, they said, Buddha says, a man that has everything, I have one, nothing, has everything.
Mm-hmm.
I sound really good, sound great. But where's the power to clear that out?
Amen.
It sounds really true, right? You know something? It's possible not to not have a want. It's possible.
Amen.
And we all know Psalms 23, I'm just going to quote it. He said, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Amen.
And if the Lord is your shepherd, you have to want.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Since you're not Christian, there's not, I think it's crazy. You mean, it's possible to live without a want? It's possible.
Amen.
Here's a man who lived, wrote it down. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The reason why is because he explains who the shepherd is and what he's done. And what kind of shepherd he is. Buddha's dead, he can't help, he can't do that. This shepherd's alive. After he died, he became a shepherd now. He's living there in heaven for us.
Amen.
This is the main thing I saw in this. He said, he made me lie down in green pastures and said, rest. He gives us rest. A man that has no one has rest.
Amen.
He says, he leads me beside the still waters. I think it looks like peace to me.
Amen.
Amen. A man that has no one has peace.
Amen.
Rest and peace. He restores my soul. You know, and some people ask me, they ask me, how do you make it nice to be with him? I say, because he restores my soul.
Praise
God.
Praise
God. That's my mate. He's my friend. Amen. He said, leave me in path of righteousness for his namesake. He's our God.
Amen.
The shepherd's our God. That's why we have to do that.
Amen.
He says, yea, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's no protection.
Amen.
He's given protection. I will, and he says, for thou art with me, I'll rod and thy staff, and comfort me.
Comfort.
He says, comfort.
Amen.
If you have comfort, what else can you want?
Amen.
He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Amen.
I anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over.
Amen.
He gives joy. This person here has all these things. And where did you get it? From the shepherd. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all.
Amen.
I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
That's going to be blessing forever.
Amen.
A man can live without want. Amen. He has the shepherd.
Amen.
You are going to live without want because now I can be a shepherd for you. That was a blessing. One more verse. You know, in the Bible, everything's opposite. The humble, you have to be humble to be. You have to be. That's another. But there's so many different people. But the one I want to get to is, if we lose, we gain.
Amen.
If we lose our life, we will gain the life we
have
for.
Amen.
If we gain it, we'll lose it. And when we lose, the more we gain.
Amen.
It's a paradox, but it's true.
Amen.
I realize my life, the more I lose, the more I gain.
Amen.
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 Some of you don't know how long I've been waiting to get up.
You're waiting, man, brother.
I've been
trying
to try it because I don't know how many meetings ago. I've been wanting to share this blessing. I got it about 3 or 4 meetings ago and just haven't really had a chance, you know. If I had a chance, it's because I didn't feel the Lord wanted me to get up. And if I thought the Lord wanted me to get up, I wouldn't quit tonight. But Psalms 100, Psalms 100, verse 4 and 5 are just really blessing me today. I'd like to try and apply it to us a little bit too. says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving,
amen,
and into his courts with praise.
Amen.
Be thankful unto him and bless his name.
Amen.
Well, you know, I was thinking, we don't really have no gates here, so why don't we enter into the doors there with thanksgiving.
Amen.
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 And, you know, it says his courts. Well, we don't have no courts here, but we have a room here.
Amen. Amen.
So let's sit here. And into this room here with praise. And right here is something really, really good. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting.
Amen.
And his truth endureth to all generations.
Amen.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that. You know, the Lord is good. Me? Some of you don't know where I came from. A few of you do. And you know what kind of life I had before I got saved. And boy, there wasn't nothing good in me. You know, the only thing you think about me is just the scum of the earth. You know, never make it anywhere. Just gonna go live in some project or something and be lucky if I live. And, you know, I just think about it. You know, if it wasn't for the Lord,
amen,
I would have taken my life a long time ago. I wouldn't have made it this far. But, you know, the Lord's good. His mercy is everlasting.
Amen.
He saved me about a little over 7 years ago. And he's protected me. He's
amen.
Been real good to me.
Amen.
And he's brought me this far.
Amen.
And he's the one that's done it all.
Amen.
If it was for myself, like I said, I would take my life a long time ago. I wouldn't have lived this far at all. But he's good.
Amen.
His mercy is everlasting.
Amen.
And his truth, boy, I can be glad.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about him lying to me.
Amen.
You know, every time I turn around, it's always teaching me some lies. But the Lord, his truth endureth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Look at Jeremiah 15:16.
Oh, amen, brother.
Jeremiah 15:16.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I like to eat.
Amen.
One of my favorite pastimes is eating.
Amen.
Now, you can't tell by looking, can you? My wife even tries to fix things I don't like, so I won't eat so much, and I'll eat that either. I've been attacked on some of my diets and some of my fasts and some of the things. I've eaten moldy bread just to eat something. I like to eat. Amen?
Amen.
Yo. But you know, I never did enjoy dissection.
Yeah.
You know? I never did. And you know, we can sit down to the table, and the boys used to get a big kick out of this. They'd sit down to the table and they'd start talking about some gross story. And Mama would lose her appetite. She gets so mad she's ready to shoot him or spank him. Stop there! You're ruining my meal! Well, sometimes, brother, you ruin the meal.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, brother. I got the word of God.
Amen.
And we're here to eat it.
Amen.
Let's don't dissect it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's don't pull all the peas apart and tell me all the grains and protein and all that other stuff down there. I don't have any calories in it.
Amen.
Who cares? You want to ruin my meal, start counting my calories for you. Make me real upset. You start telling me calories. And I'm going to start in front of the refrigerator. My wife says, 42, 42. Come on, give me a break. I want to eat.
Yeah.
Now, Monday, I may go on fast.
Amen.
I might. But I'll tell you what. I have fasted more than anybody in this room. I can almost make that a statement. I have literally fasted more. I fasted 40 days on nothing but juice. Anybody done that? Okay. I fasted 10 days on nothing but water. 10 days with nothing but water. Not one bite, not one soda water, not one glass of tea. 10 days, nothing but water. I fasted 3 days without food or water. And I fasted many, many days. And I've broken 100 fasts. I have headed home determined. Oh, it's time to fast and pray, little time to fast and pray. I'm going to fast tonight. In the morning, I get up and cook me a steak and potatoes and the whole thing. Just cook the whole thing to the wife. I fasted one meal, two meals, three meals, and I'm determined I'm going 40 days again. But boy, I walk by something I don't even like. And I eat. You know what?
I'm hooked on eating.
Amen.
I am literally hooked on eating.
Amen.
Now, I had a pretty strong willpower in a lot of ways. The day I got saved, I quit smoking, and I never did go back to it. I smoked 15 years and started when I was 5. I quit when I was 21. But I quit smoking and never went back to it. I quit drinking that same day, never went back to it. I quit cussing and very seldom went back to it. And I quit gambling. And I didn't gamble on anything until I got into commodities a year ago. I'm a pretty big gambler right now, I guess. But you know something? One thing that I have not ever witnessed.
Amen.
No matter how many times I've rebuked myself, no matter how many times I've been stringent, no matter how many times I've dieted, I've tried the herbal lifestyle. I've tried the protein diet and the egg diet and the grapefruit juice diet and every other diet they've got. Man, I'm a diet expert.
I
ain't made any seafood diet. I've tried the seafood diet. I eat nothing but fish and I hate fish. I despise liver and I ate liver and it's coming out my ears. And finally one day the wife sat in front of me and I said, ain't no more. Get out of here. Give me a steak. I want something. I'm hooked on food.
Amen.
Amen. And some of you skinny little rascals are hooked on food too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You eat all my ice cream. You know, when I sit down to a meal, I mean a feast, don't go telling me what that cow looked like and died. Don't tell me about his old sorry hair and how bad he is and the sorry head on his hip. Don't spoil my meal.
Amen.
Let me eat.
Amen.
I love eating. Let me eat.
Amen.
Now, there are times to fast.
That's right.
And I've done it more than you, so don't criticize my belly if you do it more than me.
Amen.
All right? Now, I believe in fasting. And I tell you what, I've done a lot of exercise in my day, too. You wouldn't believe it, but I might wrestle you tonight. But I've done a lot of exercise, and there is a time to exercise. And maybe I should have went on a diet and an exercise plan last week. But I knew this feast was coming up.
Amen.
Amen. And so for 4 days, I determined I'm not going to tell my belly no. Amen. I'm not going to exercise my body. I'm not going to run around the block. I'm not going to lift those stupid weights, those dumbbells for dumb bunnies. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to eat, and I'm going to relax, and I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to eat.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what, I look forward to a time of eating.
Amen.
Now, I'll admit that I could be taught some things, and I hope you teach me some in the future. I'll admit I've got sin in my life, and I hope you root it out. By the grace of God. But I'm here to eat.
Amen.
That's right. I won't eat. Amen. Now, when I sit down to eat, I do not sit down there and divide it all up. And dissect it and see how much of this is there, how much of that is there, and what this is going to do to my body, and what that's going to do to my body. You know what? By the time I got through with the peas, they'd all be cold.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what I do at my house? I think eating's too important. You know what I do at my house? I take the phone off the hook. You try to call me about eating time, you don't get it. You know why I do that? I've had a lot of cold meals in my day. My phone rings off the wall. Sometimes it rings 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. It sometimes rings at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. It rings all sorts of different times of day. And it rings all the time. And so if I want to eat, I take the phone off the hook.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody came over my house sitting there while I was eating supper one day and they said, that's why I can't ever reach you. I said, you got it. When I sit down to eat, I don't want to be interrupting my eating because I like to be able to finish the meal.
Amen.
I sit down to eat today. I got interrupted 4 times in my meal today. Boy, you got to draw back enough to get close to my place like that. Amen? When you sit down to eat, man, you ought to have your undivided attention. Eat, eat. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you know I'm teasing about some of this. But I'm serious about part of it. You ain't gonna draw back enough. I hope I never cut your hand off just because you got so far close to my plate. I want peace.
Amen.
Amen. Now what I'm feasting on, I'm feasting on the Word of the living God.
Amen.
Now maybe you don't understand, but you know I need to have some joyous time.
Amen.
For 27 years I've wept over sin. For 27 years I've taught doctrine until I'm blue in the face.
Amen.
I don't believe you can teach me a doctrine I haven't heard or read. And you almost can't give me an author I haven't looked at once or twice. And I'm bored to silly with it. I don't give to hoot and the holler what C.I. Schofield has to say. Or Peter Ruckman has to say. Or Charles Larkin has to say. Or anybody else. I really don't. You know what I mean? I'm interested in eating. Don't bring me the paper while I'm sitting down with the paper.
Amen.
I mean, don't discuss this other stuff with me. I don't want it. I'm sorry. I just don't want it. I'm going to concentrate on eating. I want a 4-day feast.
Amen.
You know, I used to go in Southern Baptist circles. I'm Southern Baptist pastor and evangelist. We'd go to these conferences. They said, "Our brother, you preach at 10:30 to 11 o'clock, and yours is the method of evangelism, and yours is the ground of evangelism, and yours is the persons of evangelism, and yours is the..." Boy, that thing all leveled up. Boredom to the extreme. You know what's going on while all these great preachers are preaching? Guys are running around outside and talking to them, shaking hands at our convention anywhere.
Trying to get a revival.
Yeah. Hey, I'll go preach for you a little while. You know, all sorts of stuff. You go to the brethren, and what they think of as a great feast is, let's dissect this split infinity of the Greek verb in the third verse of chapter 7 of come on, get off my back. That dries up.
Amen.
It's like getting down on the floor and eating the stuff that put on the floor.
Yeah,
man. Man, I want to give you a juicy steak and somebody say, "Hey, that sure looks good."
That makes you taste better than me.
Amen. When somebody looks at me and thinks, "I sure would like that," and their mouth waters, I want it all tomorrow. Amen. That makes you look better. Yay! You know, when they get that bread in there, they pour that drink out. Too rich for you. You shouldn't have that. Get off my back. I'm here to eat.
Amen.
Now let me tell you, say, well, you are out of your mind, preacher. You don't know what you're doing. And if you're real spiritual, you'd understand.
Uh-huh.
Take a look at the book with me.
Amen.
Jeremiah 15:16.
Amen.
He said, "Thy word profound, and I didn't eat that."
Amen.
How do you need to learn how to eat? You never learned how to eat.
Amen.
You've been
fasting
all your life.
Yeah.
Amen. You've been looking at food and bad-mouthing, downgrading it and all the other stuff. You just can't enjoy a meal. Why don't you get happy in the Lord?
Amen.
Now listen, don't knock happiness. You say, "We don't want to be Pentecostal." Oh, goodness. There is no bigger anti-Pentecostal in the room than your truth.
Amen.
You know, that. That's strange fire, man. I don't know what that word is.
Amen.
You know what that means?
Thy words are valid.
I didn't eat that.
Amen. Call by thy name, O Lord God of hosts.
Amen.
Amen. I enjoy what I do. I really do. I have more fun than most people around. The world out there thinks you're having a big time. They'll get around me. I'm just a party everywhere I go. I tell you what. I spread out all over the Happy Buddha. That's people may really be turned off if they came over to my house.
Yeah.
You know what? They come over to my house and my wife will set back all the potatoes on the table. You can go back for seconds.
Amen.
We had a couple that came visit us one time out in New Mexico. They were Yankees. Used to Southern cooking. And when they visited, it was an offense to them because the table was set with everything there. I mean, that was sort of sloppy setting, you know. I sort of like to look at the food. I like to see something left. It's fun for me to look at it. I mean, and taste it and get a hold of it and run a spoon around it a little bit. Feels good. Hey, the best. Wow. And you know, that couple, we learned to love them and they learned to love us. But we'd go over to their house and we'd sit down for a meal. And this woman would go back in the kitchen. We couldn't see what she cooked it on. She back there. I don't know. You won't see pots that were cooked in. Maybe they hadn't been cleaned. I don't know. But you know, she had a little idea. She'd give us a little plate and she'd put a little bit of water she thought I ought to have on there. She'd bring it up there and set it on the table. Now that was the lot where she came from. But you know, it's sort of puny to me where I came from. It's sort of like they didn't know how to set a table. They were some of them people that ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I came to the place where we ate breakfast, dinner, and supper. We're biblical. Amen. Lord, supper.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of these churches have the Lord's breakfast every Sunday morning. We got the Lord's supper around here at Sunday night.
Amen.
The Bible talks about food. It talks about eating a lot of other things like that. Amen.
Amen.
Listen. Some of you need to learn how to eat and talk. Hey, just get a hold of the word.
Amen.
You don't have to dissect it. You don't have to study 45 hours.
Amen.
Take the plate in front of you and take a bite and taste it.
Amen.
Boy, that's going to be again. Wash it down with a little of the Spirit of God. Come off another one. You know, some of you really love your veggies, right?
Amen.
I don't like vegetables. You know how I get my greens? I send that red cow out in that green field. He eats those greens. I cook it like an old good steak. I get my greens too fast. But I don't love food. I've been doing that food all my life. And I doubt very seriously if I'll ever get to be Mr. Thin. I don't think I'm going to make it. I fight fat all the time, and I'm going to keep fighting fat, and the fight of fat, the battle of bugs is going to be with me the rest of my life. But I tell you what, I enjoy eating more than most of you ever will. You know something? I want people to eat. And you know what I want to do? For 4 days, I want to think on my plate.
Amen.
I want to think of his attributes. I want to think of his glory. And you know, I don't like to take 5 hours to eat a meal.
Yeah.
Amen. I eat it, take the plate off, and go my way.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to learn to stand up, speak up, shut up, and sit down.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. He said it first,
baby. Amen.
Oh, sorry. He's talking about food. He's talking about food. I got to get up.
Amen.
McDonald's. Amen.
Some of y'all, I'm going to share this. Some of y'all heard the whole commercial book. Let me throw it out. You know, the Lord was walking one day and he says, hey, this, I was just, and Peter's a little.
Yeah.
And there's a little growing up and he says, Peter's a little thing. and he gave him a lesson about it, you know. And Paul was walking one day, and he come across a bunch of idols on Margin, and he preached up to the people there about the one real living true God. Amen. Amen. And you know, Pretty guys before, and he brought out a little thing about the toolbox, didn't he?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I like that. He says, consider the toolbox, and consider the car one day. Jesus said, consider the village. Well, I like to say, consider McDonald's.
Amen. Yeah.
Consider McDonald's. You know, let it all laugh about it. You know, the first time I got said, I got me a job after being 13 months unemployed. And y'all said, hey, man, I said, where you were? I said, got a job at McDonald's. And y'all laughed. Like 2 years since I've been working.
Amen.
Y'all was kidding me. And took me around about that thing and they talked about roaches. Well, that kangaroo meat came out that one time. And y'all just laughed. But you know what? I like to apply it to the church. You know, that's McDonald's is the place to be.
That's right. Uh-huh.
You know, I said it was a promissory note one time, but I saw it's like a deposit slip, I guess, or maybe a bank statement come back. An article store had close to $2 million in the bank.
Amen.
And now we've just been resident in ever since. McDonald's is the place to be.
Amen.
I thought I'd maybe give Brother Devil good advice I didn't bet. Get in the McDonald's.
Amen.
Get in the McDonald's. Now, y'all laugh. And I shared this. And Brent was the only one to listen. It's just like the church. People laugh. They say, you guys, you're a Christian. You're in this thing called salvation. You're serving God. Well, they laugh. It's not a Christian. I'd rather have my big time with the booze. I'd rather have my big time down at the dance hall. I'd rather have my own life, my own career, my own spouse. Well, they're going to wreck their lives. They're on the road to destruction.
That's right.
I said, you get in the church, and you'll really be.
Amen. Amen.
You'll be in the first room that you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You'll be where all the action is.
Amen.
It's like Moses, when they're going to the mountain, people saw a devouring fire. Moses was in the very presence of God. I mean, there was peace that we talked about over there. Maybe. He was in joy, and he was in a place of blessing. And the church is the place to be.
Amen.
And then I'd like to say a word about the employees at McDonald's. You know, here in our store, my store over there, we really depend upon a certain class of people, and it's the handicapped folks. You know that? We really depend upon. During the lunch rush now, we're running $500 and $600 hours, and the lobby's a wreck, you know, and there's handicapped people out there working clean as that. And I opened the store last Sunday, I had to work, and I had a deaf maintenance person, a person making business. I had a 6 month pregnant girl, she's married, but she was running my drive through. I had a person that was brand new, it was like her second day at work. She was running the whole front counter, all emergency, everything, and had a guy on grill that it was his second time he'd ever opened and cooked breakfast. We were the walking movie that day. And then they had me a boot, you know. I didn't know what I was doing, you know. I said, we depend upon the handicapped people.
Uh-huh.
They're essential. They really are.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed at what some of them people can do.
Yeah.
I mean, I got this guy back there cooking quarter pounders. He said, how can he do that? Because we have to call what we want back. He does it. And he has adapted himself, and he's worked right in that system. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And we depend upon him to do that. And we talked about the body this morning, and, you know, it talks about different parts of the body, and it said, you know, some of them parts are weak and feeble, you know, but they get the more honor. We were playing basketball, and Billy said, you know, maybe we ought to look out for some people and just keep abundant honor. And the guy says, what are you doing? I'm keeping more abundant honor because you're a feeble person. You never noticed when we talk about the uncomely parts of the body, we're always looking around. I heard about a movie one time that opened up, and all it had was, it was on a big screen, you know, it was a bit, and all it had was a mouth there, and the mouth was singing a song. It was gross. And we say, oh, the freak.
preachers of God. They're all the great orators. I tell you, see a big mouth right there.
That's right.
Thing to
that's right.
You ever see a mouth? You ever see your own mouth? And what does he say? That big old tongue wagging? Yeah, we think that the preachers are the real people of God, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
No. We're always backwards in our faith.
Amen.
Like Steve read that verse, he said we ought to lay down our lives
to
the brethren. And we said, oh, that's negative. No, it's positive.
That's right.
Amen.
Blessing to lay down.
Amen.
Down for the brethren.
Amen.
And you don't think that these need to change your life.
Amen.
But, you know, I thank the Lord. I thank God that I'm in McDonald's. And I thank him. He has just opened doors and blessed
us. Amen.
I mean, he just opened up. It was a miracle. But I praise the Lord, you know. Not only that I'm in McDonald's, but I'm in the church.
Amen.
I'm part of the members, and you know,
amen.
I may be a deaf person or a dumb person or whatever, you know, but we work together.
Amen.
God has tempered the body together.
Hallelujah.
Well, he's the head, and I really, I praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're in the church.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's sing 107.
Amen.
107 supplement. Amen. Eating on the living bread.
Amen.
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 Stand up in it. Amen. Stand up in it.
I'll never turn again.
Jesus teach y'all something.
Amen.
Those of you that know it, sing it with me, and those that don't, just listen and read the lesson.
See it.
All the world is filled with vanity.
Jesus is the Lord and He is in me.
Jesus is the Lord and He lives in me. Somebody start to go.
Start here and then this one and that group.
Okay. Jesus is the Lord and He lives in me. Now I am as happy as I can be. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus lives in me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus lives in me. All the world is filled with vanity. Jesus is the one reality. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus lives in me.
Okay.
Jesus is the one in me.
Because I didn't want to be labeled. But you know, I came to a place one day where I didn't care what people say. And you know, we're peculiar people. And if we live out what we have inside, people are going to think we're weird. We're strange. And even some of God's people are going to think we're strange because they're in the wrong place doing the wrong things. And because we're in the right place doing the right things, they're going to think we're at all. You know, in Mexico, and I don't have any figures, I'm just guesstimating, but about 8 out of 10 Christians are Pentecostals. You suppose there's a reason for that? There's a reason for that. And you know what the reason is? Because they got such good doctrine. Terrible doctrine. Well, maybe it's because they have such fancy buildings. You ought to see some of those things they be doing. Honestly, well, it won't even keep the rain out. They don't even have benches. You know what they do? They stick some sticks down the ground and run another stick across it, and you sit on a stick.
That's right.
Yeah. You don't even have backs on them. Well, what do you suppose it is that attracts so many people? Now, I'm not even suggesting tonight that they're right. But I'm just telling you, brothers, they've got something that's attractive. And you know what it is? It's praise to the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Now, is there anything wrong with praising the Lord?
No.
Now then, if they just straighten out their doctrine, that'd be fantastic.
Amen. Amen.
But why should we refuse to do what they do?
Amen.
Because some of the other things they do is wrong.
Amen.
I used to go to meetings, you know, when I was a Baptist, and I'd go to some of these people calling me and they'd raise their hands and I'd and then one day I found a scripture where it talks about raising your hand.
Amen.
Well, maybe there's something to do that, you know. And one day I tried it, and boy, I tell you, I don't know how about you, but I tried it, and my. Did you ever feel like just saying amen?
Amen.
It just kind of just caught your throat, you know, just before it came out. kind of choked on it. Just let it come out.
Amen.
Just say amen.
Amen.
You know, there's nothing that's quiet as refreshing as just letting the Spirit come out.
Right.
Amen. You know what? And when it says over in Thessalonians, not to quench the Spirit, what do you suppose he's talking about?
Right, brother.
Amen.
What do you suppose? Do you suppose he's talking about not to listen to the good preacher? No, he's talking about something that's just naturally within you that the Spirit is motivating. Just let it come out.
Amen.
If it's lift your hands, lift your hands. If it's to praise the Lord,
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
If it's to do something else, whatever the Spirit. Now I realize that you can get in the flesh and you can really go off on the tangents, you know. But I don't think there's a whole lot of danger in that. Not here anyway. Not yet anyway. But I've seen some things that really just grieve me because people quench the Spirit without realizing what they mean. Just be natural, you know. You know, you go to a football game and you don't quench the Spirit.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. That's right, brother. Amen.
I never saw anybody at quench the Spirit. You know, say, well, you know, I want to root for my team, but I'm afraid I might offend your folks over there. You just root for your team anyway. They don't like it. Or sometimes you might even throw a pie. Well, what I'm saying is, we need to learn how to be nice.
Amen.
And what? You say, well, what if somebody gets offended? Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Just let them get offended. Because, you know, we want to be unto the Lord a praise for Him.
Amen.
Amen. We want to have the Lord pleased with us. And if we do, you know that thief on the cross that we were talking about a while ago? You know, at first he did what everybody else was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, God's Spirit revealed to him some truth. He saw in Jesus something that the other thieves didn't see and all those other people didn't see. And, you know, he could have thought, well, you know, boy, you know, I don't want to say anything now because what will they think about me? They're liable to think I'm off my rocker. They're liable to think, you know, something really strange about him. But, you know, he couldn't help but right there in the midst of all of that, those other remarkable saying, Lord, remember me.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Remember me. He took Jesus' side. And Lord said, you paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 Probably of all those that stood around the cross that day, he was the only one.
Right.
Went home to be with the Lord. We don't know how many, but we know he did.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is, he dared to go against the crowd. And what we do sometimes, you know, God kind of goes against the grain and goes against the crowd. And if they call us from the cross, praise God.
Praise God,
buddy. Amen.
I don't care what they call me.
Amen.
I really don't. And don't be afraid of what people think. They're going to bring bad things anyway.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just a verse to go along with it, John 4 and 23 and 24. He says, but the hour cometh, and now is,
mm-hmm.
the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit mm-hmm. and in truth. I tell you, the hour cometh, and now is.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Now is.
Now is.
Now is.
Amen. When the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I want you to know there's a bunch of worshipers in the world. But God says the true worshipers, those that are true, the true worshipers, worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
I want to talk about the false religion out there tonight. I don't want to make mention of the false Christians, those who call themselves Christians that aren't Christians. I like to say a little bit about those that are really Christians that worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
There's a group out there of believers born again, going to be in heaven with us, singing the praise of God, bowing down before God, in heaven with us, dwelling the mansions with Him, that all they do is worship in truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they do. I mean, they're very strict. I mean, when it comes to eating, they make sure there's no sugar in the bacon.
Amen.
I mean, they make sure there's no white flour anywhere to be seen. I mean, they make sure you don't eat some type of... Sorry about that, Yoshi. What a roll-off. I rolled over the drain. But I want to say that there are individual believers that are very precise.
Uh-huh.
I can remember a time, Joe, remember way back when you used to get in that kick, we used to read this Bible about, you know, if you eat these foods, just these types of food, you must be at the devil and all these things, you know. I finally got the place, I read through the book, I said, there's something for me to eat. I started that.
Amen.
You know what I said? They said sugar causes cancer. Pass the sugar.
Amen.
Amen. It's going to hit you in the grave early. Give me another piece. You should eat all that butter. Fry the potatoes anyway. Put another stick of butter in there. I want the whole thing. Boiled in butter, man.
Boiled in butter.
Give it to me. Mom. Huh? Like I said, there's many believers out there, and what they have is just truth. And that's good. I thank God for it.
Amen.
I thank God for anybody that's got truth.
Amen.
I thank God for that. But you know what? That's not what the Father seeketh for.
That's right.
You
Amen.
Did I read something about the Father seeketh such to worship Him?
Mm.
God is looking for somebody, for some people that would do this very thing.
Amen.
And look what He said. That would worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
I'd like to say on the other side of the fence, excuse me, I got sinuses. They made me turn on the heater. I'm going crazy at home.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the heater and sinuses.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the
muscles.
Amen. Thank you, Yankees. I started myself. I've been down here in Texas on my entire adult life. Some of you think I made it yet, but I have. But on the other side of the fence are those that have truth, are those that Brother Dale was mentioning.
That's right.
They got spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They've got the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my friends, when you go to their meetings, their dimes might not be too much, but you know they got joy.
Amen.
Amen. They're excited.
Amen.
Right.
What they believe. That's
right. I tell you, I've been to some places, and they had the truth, but I thought, man, we could drop a pin here, and we could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
We could find it. I'm just trying to sound it. I've been there. You know what I like to do? I like to sit in the back row of those kind of churches.
Uh-huh.
And then about the time when the preacher says something good, I like to let out with a good,
Amen!
And they're watching. They get all nervous. You know?
Yeah.
They want to see you get that, but they don't want to turn around.
Amen.
All of a sudden, Mark over there has got to go get a drink of water, you know. Amen. Out of time. But you know, like, I've been to some meetings. I mean, they sang. They sang,
but they had life.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Didn't hear the truth, but they had life. Huh? I've been there too. I got up and down, and I'd raise my hands with them, and I'd hoot and holler with them, and I'd do their marches with them, but you know, they have any truth. That's not any good either. I thank God for it. I thank God for all the songs they sang.
Amen.
I thank God for all the praise they gave to God. I thank God for it. You know, that's not what God's looking for either. He's looking for some people.
Amen.
That have spirit
Amen.
I tell you what, that's a good mixture. You know what? That is better than Neapolitan ice cream.
Right.
I can't, you know, as far as food goes, that's a good mixture, man. You get your can of Hershey's chocolate and some ice cream, and you put those things together, that's good. Mm-hmm. You know there's something better than that.
Amen.
With spirit and truth.
Amen.
You get together.
Amen.
You know what? I believe we have.
Amen.
Amen.
It may
sound boastful, God forgive you. But I believe we have.
Amen.
It's His gift, brother.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
I thank God for it. Oh, I realize that some nights all we get is truth.
Amen.
Huh?
That's right.
And sometimes all we get is spirit.
That's right.
Sometimes we don't get neither.
Amen.
I believe God rejoices over.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. This doesn't apply. This doesn't apply just to the meat. It applies in our life.
Amen.
I believe it applies when we go out soul winning.
Amen.
A lot of people go out there and give truth, but they don't have the spirit.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. A lot of people out there, they're giving the spirit, but they got no truth.
Amen.
Come on.
Huh? Brother, when we go out and we do the things of God and we're fighting the battle for God,
amen.
We
need
the truth and spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Huh? It's not just one or the other.
Both.
It's not what just one you prefer. My friends, it's what God said, spirit and truth.
Amen.
Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
My friends, that's what we do. We need to come to a place that we have it all.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we're striving for.
Amen.
Marching on all the time.
Good,
if we slide a little, we'll pick ourselves up and march down a little bit more.
Amen.
I want spirit of truth.
Amen.
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 Amen. When everybody's singing, all I want them to sing is truthful songs.
Amen. Amen.
When
they're
praising God, I want to be praising in truth.
Amen.
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 What a blessedness when the Spirit of God has control.
Amen.
Because He leads us in all truth.
That's right.
Yeah. Huh? All these people talking about they got the Spirit of God, but they got no truth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about their spirit.
Amen.
I question their spirit. And my friend, is not either or. It's not just what you prefer or what you like. It's what God wants.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
He's looking for such
Amen.
That would worship Him.
That's right.
In spirit and
grounded in me, and that's why I'm looking for that. Now, right now, I'm not ashamed to say this. I'm sad to say it. I go to a Baptist church right now in Missouri. And while y'all been preaching on Baptist, speaking about the Baptist, I'm sitting over here and I've been going underneath my feet. But you know, I'm starting to get a glimpse of what the Lord is doing and why He's allowed me to be a Baptist. and why he has allowed me to even be a Pentecostal, mm-hmm. and why he's allowed me to be other things. I was raised a Catholic. Mm-hmm. Okay. I haven't been a Mormon yet. I probably won't be a Mormon. Don't worry about that. I've only been saved for 5 years, but it seems like I've seen a lot of things, you know. And I know that men like Brother Kincaid and Brother West and other older brothers in the congregation. They went through it, and the Lord took them on that route. He allowed them to go that route for certain reasons.
Yeah, that's right.
And now they're better because of it.
Yeah.
And I know the Lord is allowing me and my wife to go on this journey, to the journey of journey, until we get to heaven to be with the Lord.
Amen.
And that's where my eyes are. My eyes is on the hill.
Amen.
From which cometh our strength.
Amen.
My eyes is on the Lord. And like I was talking about, I want to balance in my life, and the Bible says that we should be perfect, you know, and don't get afraid now, but the Bible says we should be perfect,
amen.
Even as he is perfect,
amen.
And we need to get on the mark, you know. Paul talked about the mark, he talked about the mark, you know, and he was aiming for the mark, you know, and he said he reached, and he pressed, and he strived for the mark,
amen.
Now, he didn't get it in this lifetime, as far as I know. But he pressed and he tried.
Amen.
And that's by the glory of God. That's what I want to do. And I know that's the desire of everybody here. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, I hope it gets to be that.
Amen.
Desire.
Okay. Amen.
That becomes your desire. And just some scriptures to go along with. I hope I'm not yelling too loud. And this is what's here. I see her moving around. In Romans chapter 10, very familiar passage, and I think this will go along with what Brent was talking about. Paul was very concerned about his brother. And do you know something? A lot of these Pentecostals are our brothers.
Amen.
And a lot of these Catholics, I don't know how many, but some of them are our brothers. And there's no getting around that. They know the Savior. But Paul was concerned about his brethren, the Jews, the Israelites. And this is what he says in the 10th chapter of Romans. In verse 1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved."
Amen.
Now, at this time, I think they probably thought they were saved. Because they were religious.
Mm-hmm.
And you know religious people, the religious people feel like that they have it. They don't need what you're talking about. They already got it.
Right, right.
You talked to many people. You said, "Are you a Christian?" They say, "Yes, I'm a Catholic." I didn't ask you were you a Catholic. I asked you were you a Christian. And they tell you that, you know, yes, I've been to the Jordan. I did all this, and I do it all the time. Yes. And they still haven't answered your question about being saved.
That's right, brother.
And this is what they were missing.
Mm-hmm.
They were missing. They weren't saved.
Amen.
And says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved."
Amen.
And you know, somebody prayed for me. I don't know who it was. I'm sure somebody had to pray for me.
Amen.
That man would get saved.
Amen.
And now I'm saved.
Amen.
You know, that was on somebody's heart to pray for me. That
Amen.
Was their prayer to God and their heart's desire was for that brother to get saved.
Amen.
That man, I wasn't a brother then, but for that man to get saved. That sinner.
Amen.
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 And the Lord saved.
Amen.
You somebody in this church, Yoshi Benedetti, he came to the hospital when I was here in Fort Sam, Houston, and I was in the pharmacy, and I was getting drugs, but it was, you know, medication for your cold or something, and it was that day that the Lord came to my house.
Amen.
And it was that day that I got saved.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for saving my life.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I thank you for saving me by that day.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me to this church.
Amen.
Concerned about what you're concerned about. Father, I pray. I pray, Lord God, that we continue to reach and search. And look for the things that you want us to have.
Amen.
I pray that we do this, Lord, and I pray that we help others to do it.
Amen.
But it goes on to say, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God.
Amen.
They were on fire.
Amen.
They were on fire. You know, Paul the Apostle, when we read his life before he got saved, was a man that was on fire for God. Anybody that will go out and kill other people, there's something wrong with it. Okay, there's something going on inside of them, stirring them to do this. And Paul was stirred to go out and kill the Christians.
Right.
He was a persecutor of the Christians.
Exactly.
And he was very zealous because of his religion. He thought that they were wrong and he was right.
Yeah.
But he didn't have the knowledge at that time. He had the zeal, but he didn't have the knowledge. And a lot of the people that we talked about tonight, they have that zeal. They have that zeal.
Right.
You know something? And I want that zeal.
Right.
After all the things that I've seen, I want that zeal. I want that fervency. I want that joy in my
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
I want to be able to shout when
Amen.
The Lord tells me to shout.
Amen.
And when the Lord tells me to clap, I want to clap.
Amen.
When the Lord says, lift your hand.
Amen.
When the Lord says a lot of things, you know what? I want to do them all.
Amen.
I want to do all of them.
Amen.
If the Lord says, be quiet. So
Amen.
We can hear that pin drop.
Amen.
I want to be quiet.
Amen.
So I hear that pin drop.
Amen.
I want to do what the Lord wants.
Amen.
You know, and if we come to that place that we do what the Lord wants, we'll be all the other things.
Amen.
We'll be all the other things. We'll shout and we won't feel bad about it. The amens will come out. We won't have to grab our throats. And everything will be
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
They had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. It says, for they be ignorant. Ignorant. That seems to be something very big in our day.
Amen.
You know, I read that little tract there about the Catholics and how they do all these things. From birth, they're raised up. And they never read the Bible. They never check to see what they have in soul.
Right.
And the Bible says that we should search the Scriptures.
Right.
And see if those things are so.
Right.
And if not so, we know it goes. Many times I've been in assembly here and I have stood up in ignorance and I was rebuked, you know, but I learned from that,
Amen.
You know, and sometimes that happens,
Amen.
But that's the only way we're going to learn.
Amen.
So sometimes you'll have to stand up and you'll have to be ignorant so you get rebuked.
Amen.
And, you know, go through all that process because in the end you're going to be better for it.
Amen.
But it says that for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, help us to go about to establish something of our own.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Lord is putting something on my heart. And I don't quite know what it is. My head is spinning around. And I'm just not sure. You know, and God, He has peace about the whole thing. And I'm troubled. You know, he's just trying to get me to the place where I have to
stay.
That's right. But the thing that I want to establish, I want to do it on the Bible.
Amen.
And I see great things in this church right here. You know, and this church is not perfect. There's no perfect church.
Right. Right.
But I see a lot of good things in this church, and I see some things that I want to do and implement. And just keep on passing on.
Amen.
You know, we got bad because we passed it on from generation to generation.
That's right.
Well, in order to get back to where we used to be, we're going to have to pass it on again. right. From generation to generation. If we're going to ever get back to the place that we were when the church first started at Pentecost, when the apostles were listening to the Lord, and when they were in touch with the living God, if we want to get back to that place, we're going to have to do it from generation to generation.
Amen.
And our nation is not going to be brought back to God unless we do it here.
That's right.
Unless we start right here.
Yes.
We're not going to bring our nation back to God. And I hear that a lot. Let's bring our nation right back to Jesus.
Amen.
Man, I'd like to bring our nation back to Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
But I want to get right back to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I want to get right back to Jesus. And then I can help somebody get back to
Jesus. Amen.
You know, I think about David. When David, he sinned. And he said, Lord, he was sore inside. And he couldn't do anything. And he couldn't convert sinners because he had some problems. But when he got right, he said, now I can help sinners. You know? And so that's the place that I want to come to. And then I'm going to hurry up and sit down because I'm going to take Brother Kincaid's admonition. Because I don't want to say the wrong thing. But I just want to finish this and say, well, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Amen.
There's a key word in there. It's submission.
Amen.
It's submission. And that's what we need to do. We need to submit.
Amen. Amen, brother.
I don't know if it's passive or active or what kind of word it is, but it's just giving up.
Right.
And that's what we need to do. We just need to give up and say, Lord, whatever you want to say.
Amen. Amen.
Whatever you want to say, say it.
Amen. Amen.
We'll do it. We'll follow you. But we can't. If we resist, we're in trouble.
Amen.
The key word is submission.
Amen.
We need to submit to the Lord. We need to submit to the Bible, to the Word of God.
Amen.
And people all over are submitting. That's what we're seeing. And we see it in ourselves sometimes. We rebel. We don't submit. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us all to submit to His authority,
Amen.
To His Word, to His leaders, to the men that He's placed. In authority over the church, he wants us to submit. That's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do, submit. But it's the right thing.
Amen.
It's what God wants us to do. And when we do it, he's going to bless us.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for that. And I hope that that goes along with what you said, Grace, and it really helps the meeting.
Amen. That was good.
I haven't got up in a long time.
Amen.
I know why. I got a little bit of what you're saying. And also, about a year ago from what Art said, and also the brother said about raising hands, I'd like to just bring all these 3 points and something else to it. In Genesis chapter 19, went into the wrong place. He went into Sodom. And he was being deceived because he was doing away. He can live with the ungodly and be with them. And they said some bad things, and they, to me, even though I read written in the Bible, it's hard for me to even read them because they're very close to my life. But look what God said. And the men put forth their hands and pulling Lot into the house, to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find a door. These depraved people in this city of Sodom were thinking of doing ungodliness to Lot and the angels of God.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, Lot was trying to reason with them and compromise with them will work. And then the servant of God, that his angels came over there and said, come on here.
That's right.
Yeah. Give it up.
That's right.
And he pulled him in the house. He said, what they go through? Blind and light. They can't see. They were blind.
Amen.
You look at the sun straightening out, you won't see anymore.
Amen.
But this was right in the sun. Well, I also look also in Psalms 9. I want to tell you my topic is deliverance. I thank God for deliverance.
Amen.
So I didn't want to read most of this psalm because this is really a blessing to me. It says, deliver me from my enemies, oh my God.
Amen.
Defend me from that, from them that rise up against me.
Amen.
Defend me from the workers of iniquity.
Amen.
From bloody.
Yes. Amen.
For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgressions, nor for my sins, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault, awake to keep me, and behold, thou therefore, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit
Amen.
All the heathen.
Amen.
Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors, Shalom. They return at evening, they make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. They, behold, they belch out their mouth. Swords are in their lips. Oh, for who? For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at
them. Amen.
Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision.
Amen.
Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, all, for God is my peace.
Amen.
The God of my mercy shall prevent.
Praise the Lord.
God shall let me see my desire upon my enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Shatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield.
Amen.
For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them not be taken in their pride. And for their and for cursing and lying which they speak, consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be, and let not and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the end of the earth. Shalom. And at evening let them return and let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will
sing. Amen.
Amen.
For thy power.
Amen.
Yea, I will sing aloud.
Amen.
For thy mercy in the morning.
Amen.
For thou hast been my defense
Amen.
And refuge in the day
Praise
of my trouble.
Amen. Amen.
Unto thee, O my strength, I will sing.
Amen.
Amen.
For God is my defense and the God of my mercy.
Amen.
I sing a new song.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. My deliverer.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. I also want to have you. Amen. Praise God. Here's another one here that I had. Brother Art, about a year ago, he asked me, why don't you lift your hands up in the air? I didn't know what he said. He explained that. Well, I wasn't looking at the Bible just yesterday, because I was talking to Brother Billy, and he was talking to me about incense, and because the guy at home, and my sister's boyfriend is lost like a devil, and he believes he knows everything, and he tells me, one of the religious people that Brother Kevin was talking to. And it really hurts my eyes, but you know, he mentioned the topic of incest and the burning incest and stuff like that. But I said, well, let's see the word. What did God say? Let's put his thoughts and his opinion and compare that to the truth.
Amen.
And the Bible says in Psalms 141. Okay. Okay. I follow this and I try to be a scripture that I can. And
Amen.
Psalm 141. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense.
Amen.
And the lifting up of hands as the evening sacrifice. Now this guy might say, what is the evening sacrifice? Okay, go on. Exodus chapter 29. You can read 41. But okay, now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs for the first year, by day continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening. And with the one lamb in the tenth deal of flour mingled with the flour with the fourth part of him of beaten oil and the fourth part of him of wine for a drink offering. And the other.
Amen.
Thou shalt offer at evening.
Amen.
And shall do thereunto according to the meat, according of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereunto a sweet savour.
Amen.
An offering made by fire unto God.
Amen.
This is what we do.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's not even sacrifice.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Sweet savor.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody sees that we're over, you know, talking about a balance. Somebody sees that we're over too far in one direction.
somebody will say, you know, look, we need to move this way. And it never, almost never fails when somebody will get up and say, oh, wait, we better not do that because there's too many dangers going that way. When the danger is not going that way, we need to go that way. The danger is sitting where you are. I mean, that's the danger of hand, and there is a danger. Going overboard, and I'm going to be the one that says, oh, wait a minute, there is a danger. And I know that we're not yet at the overboard spot, yet there is a danger. I was in a meeting when someone was preaching. Jack Wood was preaching. And I was in the pew, and I was sitting, I guess about three people from this brother, but I didn't know who he was or whatever, but Jack Wood would say something, and I'd hear this, I didn't know it was him at first, but I'd hear this, Brother Wood. Something like that. I can't really even quote it, but and so I talked to him after the meeting, and he talked just like you. And I still like asking him, you know, why do you say, hey man, that way? I don't know. And brethren, there's no value in special effects. There's no value in special effects. I mean, and having special noise, there's no value in that.
Amen.
I mean, there's no value in saying, glory!
That's right.
When you can say, glory to the Lord. I mean, godly sincerity and simplicity.
Amen.
There's no extra value. I'm not saying somebody's sinning if they say in a special way. There's nothing necessarily wrong with it, except that there is a danger. And our biggest failing is not in going overboard. Our biggest failing is not going far enough.
Amen.
But I have noticed that when you praise the Lord in real simplicity and real sincerity, what a joy gives my heart.
Amen.
And to think that, you know, amen is not a bad word.
Right. Amen.
If you think amen is good saying it by yourself, or, you know, jabbed in there somewhere, well, try saying it with several other brothers.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with being together when you say amen.
Amen.
I mean, if somebody's praying, why wait until you know you're going to be heard? Why not stay with everybody else?
Amen.
And why say in a special way? Just say amen. Just say praise the Lord.
That's right.
Let's be simple about it.
Amen.
Let's be simple and make a joyful noise and a decent and in order one. If we're going to be balanced today, and looks like we put all over the board, we're going to be balanced. Let me give you the other side of the balance. Let's say things together. I mean, don't go out on a limb to say things by yourself. Don't go out on a limb to say it special. Say it in some special way. And I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. I'm just trying to say, when we praise the Lord will smell us. We smell us.
Amen.
Especially if we do it with a pure heart.
Amen.
In spirit and in the Lord. And with a desire simply to be one part of the body, praising the Lord along with the body.
Amen.
And there's a rule. You know, like I was talking about, I guess it was this morning, about individuality, there is a rule. We are two individuals. I know we have to keep our identity, and believe me, you're not going to lose your identity. Unless you really get, you know, caught up in some in something special, I doubt you'll lose your identity. God made us separate. But we are on the wrong extreme, on individualism.
Mm-hmm.
We are too much, you know, us. All right? Let's learn some of the rules. There's no exception to it, but there is a rule to it. If you can do something with a brother, well, do it with them. Don't do it separate just to be different or individual. There's no help in it just to do it just by yourself. And God has talked about several times about having several together. I mean, let's do something together. You know, He sends out two and two, or He sends out a group, whatever. I'm not trying to put any precedent. I'm saying if you can say amen while somebody else is saying amen, we'll say it with them.
Amen.
Don't make a point of saying it differently. Don't make a point of saying it at your own pace or at your own time. Let's be a body. Let's do things together.
Amen.
Let's do things in unison. And there's nothing orchestrated about when somebody makes a point and you feel like saying amen. Well, don't jump the gun. Say it with the rest of
them.
That's not orchestrated. That's simply unison. That's simply not us all want to say things and not be so individual, not saying things in a special way or in a high-pitched voice or in a low-pitched voice. No wailing, no fancy noises, no special effects.
Amen.
I mean, it's good enough just simple. It's good enough sincere. We don't need a special effect. And we're not in that yet. I mean, I don't see most of us having special effects or us trying to be peculiar. But I've seen it, and you've seen it, and that's mostly what the Pentecostals have. They have a lot of special effects and special ways of doing things, and it's a lot of flamboyant And if we're truly a body, well, let's not be flamboyant ourselves. I mean, let's praise the Lord. Let's shout. And I mean, if you don't know how to shout at the top of your lungs, then you haven't got the real blessing yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to shout, I'm not saying don't shout loud, or don't be yourself, or don't be strong-willed about it. I mean, stand up and shout if you want to. There's nothing wrong with that. But not just to get the effect of being somebody in the front.
I mean, with him.
The whole point is not for me to be in the forefront.
Amen.
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 Good night. All day.